And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today's program is so very important. Very, very important. And I want you to stop whatever you're doing. You know, if you're walking around the house, you're washing dishes, eating a snack, whatever you're doing, I want you to listen very closely to today's program. You may want to take notes. You may want to order the book that I'm going to be talking about, because this is one of the more important books that I've ever done, and it could turn out to be the most important book. You know, God has really had me on a mission of writing books recently. And my health has not been that good, and I've been sort of restricted at home. I haven't gone on any trips, and, you know, I'm sort of limited to going about, oh, maybe 10 miles from my house at the most. But that's good. You know, the Bible says that when you're weak, God is strong. But He's strong all the time, but when you're weak, you really realize how strong God is. And God has given me a number of messages as I was weak. You know, I mean, I could only work for 2 or 3 hours a day, but God inspires me. And I'll tell you, when I'm laying there and on my chair trying to get a little bit of rest, I'm thinking all the time. I'm praying and asking God to bless this message today that I'm talking to you about, and to inspire me on the books that I write, and He has. You know, God is so great, and when you ask Him, He will respond. Why shouldn't He? He's got everything, and you're His child. Now think about that. Whatever you ask in My name, you'll receive it. Jesus said that. Now, if you ask amiss, of course, if you ask for something that's not good for you, He's not going to give it to you. You know, a lot of kids ask their parents for things that really just aren't fit for them. I mean, there's guys and gals out there that unmarried, and oh, they want a mate, and they think that this particular person is the right person for them, and they say, Lord, please have this man ask me to marry him. Or, that's the mate for me. He's my lifelong, you know, chosen treasure. He may not be. He may be a crud. You may have your heart broken because you don't get that particular person. Well, believe me, God may know him a lot. Well, He does knows him a lot better than you do. And then some years later, you find out more about that person that you didn't get. You know, there's an old song, a country song, I believe, thank God for unanswered prayers. Think about that. But God did answer my prayer on this particular subject. And He said He would. You know, in Daniel 12, verse 10, one of my favorite verses, it says that the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They're on a wicked streak, my friends. Oh, look at the world around you, the transgenders, the homosexuals, oh, Obama and all these globalists. They're doing everything they can to smite God, to make fun, to mock Jesus Christ. Wow. Aren't they pitiful? Aren't they pitiful? But God knows who His children are. And if you're one of His children, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're not going to be one of the wicked. And you know what? You're going to understand. Let me finish that verse. It says, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now that's a simple verse. Think about it. Are you a wise person? If you know Jesus Christ as Lord, you are wise. He's the wisest, and you're one of his children. And so he's going to give you a little bit of his wisdom. And all it takes is a little bit, friends. Let me tell you. Oh, my goodness gracious. You have a little bit of God's wisdom, and that's all you need. We've had our ministry here for, I don't know, over 30 years. And, I mean, every agency in the world has tried to shut us down and punish us and everything else. You think that Trump's had problems. He's had everybody against him, Donald Trump. Well, we have too. But we just keep rolling along. Just keep rolling merrily along. Preaching Jesus, preaching the truth. And people calling us liars and anti-Semites and white supremacists and KKK, all kind of stuff. It's just, it's humorous. And we're none of those things. But one thing we are is wise. Now, why is Power of Prophecy a wise ministry? Because we listen to God. We answer to God. And I've always told you this, friends. Now, listen to me very carefully. I know my limitations. I know my limitations. I'm very limited. I'm limited only to mankind. And God is so much greater than me. And that's the reason I'm so wise. People say, how do you know so much? Well, I don't really know that much, but God gives me a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding, a lot of knowledge. And things that people are saying now, I said 15 or 20 years ago. I prophesied many things. I predicted a number of things. They've all come true. It's because God told me. I'm really not so smart, you see. Some people say, well, you sure are smart. No, I'm not. I'm really not. But I get up in the morning and I look at that mirror and I say, God, what are you going to have for me today? And I start smiling. I know God is going to give me something wise, something incredible. And he has in this book. My newest book is entitled The Destroyer. The Antichrist is at hand. The Destroyer. The Antichrist is at hand. Now, on the front cover of this book, it's an astounding book. You'll want to get a copy of this. You'll want to get 10 copies of this book. Give them to your friends. Pass them out at church if you have a church. Give your relatives a copy. Now, they may get mad at you because they don't understand the Bible. But you will understand. You're the wise person. They're the wicked, many of them. And they're not going to understand no matter what you do. But at least help them out a little bit. Maybe they will. Maybe you can get God on their side. Maybe if they'll turn to God and ask, he will give them wisdom too. But because they reject this wisdom doesn't mean you have to. You know, I start off this book on page 11, you know, after all the introduction and so forth. With Matthew 11:15, it says very simply now, listen to this. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's Jesus Christ said that. If you've got ears to hear, let him hear. Most people don't have ears to hear. No matter how much you tell them, no matter how much they read of the truth, they say, I'm not going to accept that. I don't want to know about that. Don't tell me. I mean, I tell people these truths and they're like in agony. Oh no, it's horrible. I don't want to know. Well, listen, folks, just keep telling them. Let them, you know, let them suffer a little bit. You're telling them the truth. You're going to help them out eventually. They don't know it now, but they might know it a little bit down the pike. But Jesus is saying, if you have ears to hear, then listen up. That's it. Listen up. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a great verse. It says this. Listen to this, folks. Let no man deceive you by any means. Oh, there's going to be a lot of deceivers out there. There's going to be a lot of scoffers saying, oh, Jesus isn't coming. That's baloney. I don't even know if he exists. Oh, boy. Listen to me, friends. Don't let them deceive you. Don't let any man deceive you by any means. He can be a writer. He can be a great orator. He can be an author. He can be a professor. He can be the president of the United States. But don't let him deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, let's stop there for just a minute. Jesus already said, if you have ears to hear, then hear, hear. Here it is, folks. Then he said, don't let anybody, this is the Apostle Paul speaking in 2 Thessalonians, don't let anybody, don't let any man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day when Jesus is coming again, shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now the church was just growing at this time when Paul preached this. The church was just building up. It had come out of Jerusalem, out of Israel, and it had gone to all of the various nations through the Apostle Paul. He was the missionary apostle. But he says someday there's going to come a great falling away. Well, what have we had, folks? I mean, think about it. There's almost 2 billion Christians on this planet. It has really grown, the Christian church. Even through persecution, great persecution, the Christian church grew and prospered. The church has not grown because we're rich, because, you know, the United States and Europe is so much more powerful and rich and prosperous. No, that's hurt us. That's hurt us. It damaged us. It's better to be a poor church, to have nothing, to depend only on Jesus. And you build up, and there comes a falling away. Now that's what we're into today. Think about it. The Gallup poll recently put out a poll said that people are losing faith in God and in miracles. Well, those two things go together. God is always a miracle worker, and people are losing faith in those things. In Europe, the churches are just museum pieces. And the Muslims are saying we ought to burn this down. Well, maybe let them burn those churches down. Jesus is not in those churches. They're empty. A falling away first. Oh, that's what's happened in America. All these churches, even the ones that are growing in the big churches, they've taken down their steeples, you know, because, well, that points to God. And they've taken off the word Christian in many of the churches because that might offend the Buddhists and the Muslims and the others. Oh, yes. We can't call our church a Christian church. There will be a falling away, and we're right in the midst of that, and people are mocking Christ. Everywhere you go, they're mocking him. And if you're a Christ believer, they're going to mock you too. They're going to laugh at you, make fun of you. Yeah, that old Bible thumper, that's who you are. But that is exactly the time when this great falling away is happening that the man of sin is revealed. The son of perdition, the Antichrist, the man with the number 666. That's when he's going to be revealed. You know, things are going to wax worse and worse. That's what Paul said. They're going to grow worse and worse until the end comes. Men are going to be deceiving, and they're going to be deceived. But here it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Think about that. The son of perdition. The man of sin. Now, there are many sinful men, but this is the man of sin. This guy takes the cake, my friends. He's leading the charge. And his coming is after the working of Satan. He has all the power of Satan behind him. And he has signs and lying wonders. He's going to be a great miracle worker. I don't believe he's going to be like an evangelist or a revivalist. He's not going to cure people and all that. Maybe he will through medicine. I just think he's going to be a great statesman. He's going to be a great president or chancellor or prime minister. Listen, Jesus says, work when you can, because there is coming a dark time when no one can work. What does he mean by that? He means you better work and let people know who you are, that you're a Christian, that you have understanding, that you know about this Antichrist. He is at hand. He is the destroyer. And you better tell people about him. You better save their souls. You better let them know. Now, let me talk about the destroyer. Why did I name this new book The Destroyer? Because that's what the Antichrist is. Oh, people will think he's the builder. That's what the Masons and the Jews, they call their great Christ figure, their Messiah. The Jews say the Messiah is coming. Oh, yes, he's right at hand. I'm going to give you some evidence of that in just a minute. There was a big meeting of over 6,000 rabbis from all over the world. They met this very year in New York City. 6,000 rabbis from all over the world. And they gave a commandment. They ordered that the Messiah come forth. What? They're giving orders to God? Oh, yes. They're giving orders to God. They said, God, it's time. We want that Messiah to come forth. You promised us a redeemer for the Jews. We want him to come now. And you better bring him. You better give us that Messiah. It was an incredible meeting. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about this destroyer. You know, in Exodus chapter 12, talks about a death agent who kills the firstborn in Egypt. They call him the destroyer. The destroyer literally means he causes to die. He destroys. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, the destroyer is an angel that destroys the people by pestilence. In Psalm 78, the destroyer signals the evil angels to come forth. The evil angels. God is going to allow these evil angels of Satan to come forth, and they're going to destroy. But if you want to see the destroyer at his very worst, turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation, you see, speaks of a star. Remember Jesus compared Lucifer to a star? He said, I beheld Satan like a star fall from heaven. Jesus was there in heaven when Satan was cast out, and he was cast down to earth. He said, I beheld him like lightning fall from heaven. He was a star. Have you ever seen a star fall? It happens so fast. Such a streak of light that you could scarcely believe it happens, but it's just quickly snuffed out. Now this star falls from heaven to earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Read about it in Revelation 9. He was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he unlocked it with his key. And that's when all hell came out, my friends, out of the bottomless pit. There came out of the pit the great smoke of a terrific furnace. I mean, can you imagine opening the key of hell, the bottomless pit? And from it, a great smoke came out as from a furnace. And there came out of the smoke supernatural locust-like creatures. They were empowered. They will be empowered for a time to plague and torment the men and women of earth, the ones who have not God. Revelation 9 verse 6 says, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Think about that. People are going to be seeking to die. Such horrible creatures, such horrible plagues, such terrible things come out of this great furnace, this fire, when the key is open, when the bottomless pit is let forth, and all these creatures and beings, these vermin from hell come forth. Boy, you think you've got problems now paying bills and, you know, buying your family food and, you know, your work and all. You think you've got problems now? Folks, if you don't know God, this is when hell comes out of the furnace. Revelation 9, verse 6. And people will actually want to die. They'll say, let me die. I don't want to live anymore. It's too horrible. But death shall flee from them. And listen to this. From the bottomless pit, these horrible monsters came out, and everybody on earth that does not know God. Now, notice I said that. That does not know God is tormented. So much so that they don't seek to live anymore. And these monstrous creatures from hell, from the bottomless pit, they have a king over them. They're not just independent anarchy minded. They have somebody leading them, organizing them, causing them to do all of these things. Who is that? He's the angel of the bottomless pit. He has a name. And it says in the Hebrew tongue, this is Revelation 9 verse 11, in the Hebrew tongue, his name is Abaddon. Abaddon. Well, the Hebrew dictionary will tell you the meaning of that word, Abaddon. Who is that king? That demon king? Who are going to lead these forces of hell? What is Abaddon? Well, the Freemasons, they worship Abaddon. They say that's a sacred word, Abaddon. And one of their rituals, one of their degrees, they say Abaddon is the sacred word. The sacred, the holy word. That's a holy God to them. Abaddon. The Hebrew language says that Abaddon has a meaning. It means the destroyer. Ah, yes, we're back to the destroyer again. Abaddon. The sacred word of the Freemasons. Abaddon. He's the king, the dark angel of the bottomless pit. That's the beast of hell. You read about the beast in Revelation 13. And I beheld a beast rise up out of the sea. Then later in Revelation 13, and I beheld a second beast rise up out of the earth. There's two beasts. They mimic each other. They're like twins almost. Revelation 13 says, and they, that's the unredeemed people of the earth. Those who don't know Jesus Christ. You see, what's going to happen to these people? First, they're tormented. This destroyer, this Abaddon, makes them want to die. He torments the people of earth. What about these people? What are they doing? Well, they worship the dragon, it says in Revelation 13. That's why they're being tormented. They don't worship Jesus Christ. They've rejected God. They're out there having a good time. They think they're out there partying. They're out there making fun of God and damaging his people and saying it's great fun to be a homosexual, to be a transgender, to hell with Christianity. Well, they're going to have hell, all right. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Who gives power unto the beast? The dragon. Who is the dragon? Well, that would be Satan, of course. And they worship the beast, saying, who shall, or who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Oh, the beast is great. The beast that comes out of the pit, the destroyer, Abaddon, he's a great man. He appears to be probably. Who could make war with him? Not us. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Revelation 13:8, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If your name is not in the book of life, you'll worship him. He said, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. No. Oh, no, I'll recognize the beast. I'll recognize him. Oh, I don't care what a miracle worker he is. I don't care if 2 Thessalonians said he's a great, great person. No, I won't do that. I'll never. Yes, you will. It'll be too late. If your name's not written in the book of life of the Lamb, everybody that dwells upon the earth will worship him. What about the saints? Well, he'll make war against them. That's what it says in Revelation 13. He'll make war against the saints and overcome them for a time. And a lot of people say, oh, well, I'll be raptured out by that time. You don't know that. Christians throughout the centuries have perished, have suffered horrible. I mean, read Fox's Book of Martyrs, the horrible deaths these people went through. Isaiah was put into a log, and then he was sawed in half by the Jews, by the Israelis, who defied God. Peter, they say, chose to be hung on a cross, but they put him upside down. And all of the apostles, most of them were killed by the destroyer. Now, I want to define exactly who is going to worship the beast. Who is going to worship this destroyer, the Antichrist, the son of perdition? It's all the smart people, you think about them, all the intellectuals, I mean all the big poo-boos of the world, all of the Congress, you know they're going to, the Democrats, the Republicans, oh sure. Oh, the president of Harvard will have a ball until hell comes. And then, of course, he's in real problems then. All the liars of earth will worship the beast. Who is that? Who could be liars? You know, I've talked a lot about lies. Lies. I mean, a courageous person who tells the truth is so precious today. Hillary, she's a liar. All of these horrible politicians. It makes me sick during this political campaign. Who is a liar? Well, 1 John, the Apostle John tells us who the great liar is. Who is a liar, he says, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Well, he just defined it. All of these Muslims out there, they're liars. Say, well, now, Tex, you can't be talking about the other religions like that. I mean, you could get in trouble. The government could come down hard on you and your religion. It could stop your radio program. It could shut down your web page and all that. I don't care. They are a liar. The Bible says so. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. In fact, he's more than just a liar. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, this is the most important verse. Think about it. Who is a liar? He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. All of the Muslims. There's, a billion Muslims out there? All a bunch of liars. They say Jesus is not Christ. They're in big trouble. Big trouble. I don't care if they're a bunch of terrorists. I don't care if America is in flames from their bombs and their explosions. They're going to pay dearly. Not for what they do as terrorists, but because they denied the truth about Jesus Christ. That's where you really pay. And they are little antichrists. There's the Antichrist. Then there's all of these followers of Antichrist. They're Antichrist too. There's many Antichrists out there. There's just one big one. One son of perdition. But all of these liars that deny Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. They say, oh, we believe in Allah. Oh, we believe in God. The Pope says, you don't have to believe in Jesus. If you believe in Allah, you're going to be saved. If you're a Jew and you believe, well, they don't even believe in a God, that God has a name. Well, I've given them a name. I've found out who their God is, and I reported it in Holy Serpent of the Jews in my book. Who is their God? It's the serpent, Leviathan, the serpent. They deny the Son. The Son of God is denied. They're in real trouble. They're liars. They're Antichrist. Their destiny is perdition. And we'll be right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. That's the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 17. Think about that, my friends. You know, that's why I've published this great book. It's certainly not great because I'm a writer of it. I'm the least of writers, but I have written the truth. And that makes this a great book. Putting the truth in this book makes it so powerful. You see, this has so many Bible verses in it. And the Bible verses point to the truth of who the Antichrist is, what nation he's come from. And you're going to find all kind of information here. You're going to find out the secret things. See, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. You know, it's wonderful to me that Jesus has chosen you and I to reveal his great secrets to. There's over 7 billion people on this planet, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know the secrets. You don't know the secrets. But if you do know Jesus, he's going to reveal them to you. Now, not everybody's going to read my book. So Jesus, he's got his own ways of getting to people. But a lot of people will read this book. If you will inform them of this title, if you will tell them about it, let them order it or order a copy for them. You see, Jesus says nothing is hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Everything that Jesus has reserved for this world is going to be known. You know, Jesus said, we didn't do anything in secret. The Jews have their secret gospel, they call it. The Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. That's our secrets. We keep these secrets. It's against the law to tell a Gentile. Why, you're worthy of death if you tell a Gentile about our Talmudic secrets. Oh, yeah, sure. But Jesus says, go forth into all the world. And all the nations, telling them of the kingdom. He's basically saying, give these secrets to them. Reveal to all who have ears to hear. Now, friends, there are 55 proofs in the Holy Bible about the Antichrist. This is the first book to reveal these 55 proofs. You say, well, what does the Bible say about the Antichrist? Who is he? Where's he going to come from? What's he going to do? The Bible says he's blasphemous. What kind of blasphemy is that? Tell us all about him. Well, that's what I do. 55 proofs in the Holy Bible. 55 proofs. The name of the Antichrist. He's got a name. Oh, yes. The nation of the Antichrist. He has a particular nation he comes from. Even the unholy city where the Antichrist rises up. You're going to know about that. The unholy city. Where could that be? Is that Rio de Janeiro? Is that Shanghai, China? Is that Tokyo, Japan? San Francisco? That's an evil city. Could it be that? Well, you'll find out. The religion of the Antichrist. He's going to have a religion. Now, he may bring all the false religions together. But he's going to have a particular religion. A particular religion. And he's going to come from Babylon in his thinking. He's going to have a Babylonian connection. Because the Bible says the last day's world religious system will be Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. It's a mystery to those who don't know. But you can know, my friends. Who is the source that empowers the Antichrist? That source, that dragon, what kind of electrical current does he have? The number of the name of the Antichrist. We all heard the number 666. Why? If I were the Antichrist, if I were the system of the Antichrist, if I were the nation and the unholy city of the Antichrist, I'd just give him a different name, wouldn't you? Well, I'll just say he's 5.3. Or 7, 8, 9, or I'd make it up. That'll deceive those Christians, won't it? But you know what? They can't make it up. They're forced. The Bible says there are certain things determined by God. That's one of the things determined by God. His number is 666, 666. It will always be 666. He can't run from it. He's going to have to accept it and explain it as a good and a holy number. And that's what he does. you're going to see. I'm going to actually quote from some of the top people in the world who said the number 666 is a wonderful, a good, a holy number, lofty messianic potential. Then there's the blasphemy. Man, blasphemy, blaspheming our Lord and Savior, blasphemy. Oh, the mark. He's going to give you a mark. It's already there. Some people are wearing it around their neck and their own jewelry. The mark of the Antichrist. It's here, my friends. Listen, I've written a 600-page book about marks, about symbols. The symbol is here. The mark is here. And you can read in the mark 666. That's the mark. And people are wearing it saying, this number 666, I'm wearing it around my neck. It's a great number. Oh my goodness. And the Antichrist is going to have a color. It's going to be red. Why red? Well, I don't know. God chose that. God chose red. He chose that. You see, crimson is the color of the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Antichrist says, well, I want red then. I want scarlet. Deep red. That's my color. Wherever you see that deep red, that scarlet, oh yes, the Antichrist is around. And I'm going to explain that. It signifies death and blood. You'll know about the color. And he has a motto. He has a motto he uses. And he has an enemy. Who is the enemy of the Antichrist? If you're a Christian, you're the enemy. You say, oh, I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. Oh, well, you can't love everybody. You're going to hate the Antichrist. If you know Jesus Christ, you're going to hate him. Oh, I don't hate anybody. Well, then you're going to hell, my friends. You better hate. Oh, that's not true. Well, Jesus didn't hate anybody. Are you out of your mind? Of course he hated. He hated sin. He hated the devil. He hates the works of evil. He loves the good. And Jesus says, take the good, embrace the good, love the good, and reject the evil, reject the bad. But you don't believe that? Okay, you want to accept everything? You want to love you want to love all the false gods and goddesses? And that's okay if a person wants to be a Muslim or a Jew, or a Buddhist. If they want to reject Jesus, that's okay. Sure it is. You're going to be with them. You're going to be saying, I'm a Christian, but you're going to hell, my friends. You can learn too about the wealth and greed of the Antichrist and his people. They're wealthy and they're greedy. They're greedy. Oh my, they're greedy. And you're going to read about their demonic nature and the personality of the Antichrist. He's going to have a demonic nature. Oh, now he may look good to other people. To people who are not Christians, he will have a fantastic personality. Very engaging. The kind of guy you want to go have a beer with. Oh yeah. Sit down and have a beer with him. He's going to be a good guy. You're going to enjoy going out to dinner with this guy. Everybody would, wouldn't you? He's going to be so wise and smart. He's going to give you good advice. Tell you how to get rich. Tell you, don't worship that Jesus. No, that's for losers. He's going to have a global empire. You know, Barack Obama went to the United Nations today and gave his last United Nations speech, and he says, globalism is the wave of the future. These people that are talking about nationalism and their country, oh, they're finished. They're finished. Globalism. That's what the Antichrist is going to say. It's a global empire. When Trump says America first, oh, no. Ford Motor Company is moving all of their car making, not all of it, but all their small cars are going to be made in Mexico. The Ford Motor Company was criticized, but the CEO, Mark Chill, said, well, we're not an American company anymore. Ford is a global corporation. That's why we're moving to Mexico. We're a global corporation. Mm-hmm. He knows he's going to put thousands of Americans out of work, but that's okay because he's a global corporation. And the Antichrist will say, that's all right. I'm not the leader of America. I'm the leader of the world. and there's going to be a judgment on the Antichrist. You know, God has already judged him. It's a bad thing to be judged. You know, read your Bible, read about the man who was in chains, in tombs. He was in the cemetery. Read about him. They call him the Gadarene. And there he was. He was naked. He didn't even know he needed clothes. They put chains on him and ropes. He would just break them. He had superhuman strength. And Jesus came upon him and he looked and he saw that it was Jesus and he screamed. He was scared. Oh, this man, everybody was frightened of this guy, but don't get near that guy. He's crazy. He's powerful. He's evil. But he was frightened of Jesus Christ. And he said, Son of man, Son of God, he said, why do you torture me before my time? That's what he cried out. He was tortured by the very sight of Jesus Christ. Think about that, friends. Here's a man who could break chains. He could break all the bondage they tried to put on him. He was insane. He lived among the tombs, among the headstones in the cemetery. No one would challenge that man, but Jesus simply walked up and the man looked at him and said, why do you torment me before my time? He was tormented. And Jesus said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. That man was possessed by untold numbers of spirit devils. Not just one devil, he had many devils in him. And he was afraid that Jesus was going to cast all of them out. They were going to cast him out of all the devils out of the man. And so the legion of devils cried out and said, Lord, they knew who they were talking to. They had been up in heaven before they rebelled. And they saw that Jesus was the Son of God. They pleaded with him. You know, if you cast us out, at least put us in those pigs over there. There's a bunch of pigs running around, you know. A herd of pigs. Put us in those pigs. Don't just let us be out there in dry territory, with nothing to conquer, to hold on to. Oh, those devils, they like to hold on to things, don't they? they want to possess somebody. Even pigs were better than nothing. And Jesus did exactly what they asked him to do. He cast them out of the man and they went into the herd of pigs and the pigs went insane. They went crazy and they ran to the edge of the cliff and they jumped off the cliff into the waters below and they all drowned and killed themselves. Those devils had a destiny. They met up with the wrong man that day, my friends. Oh, that will make your day when you meet up with the wrong man. Unless you give in to him. Unless you surrender your heart to him. And then it will be the best day of your life. The very best day of your life. I suspect that man was a lot happier when he got rid of those devils. I bet he went and got a nice set of clothes. And I bet he bowed down and kissed the feet of Jesus Christ. Well, in any case, I'm adding to the Bible there. I shouldn't. I'm just sort of figuring what was going on, though. The Antichrist will have a destiny. He is already judged. He will have a destiny. His destiny is the pit of hell. Now, the destroyer. I want you to have this book. It's $20. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. Now comes the destroyer. Here he is. The Antichrist is at hand. Some people say, Tex, you don't know. You don't know when Jesus is coming in. I don't. I really don't. I don't know the day nor the hour. I know the season looks like it's here. I can tell by the weather. What things are going on, but I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I can feel that the Antichrist is here. You know, you can, you know, pretty well know when you start seeing the Antichrist is gathering. He's here. He's with us. And he's had a lot of little Antichrist. Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, all of these. They're just little people. Someone greater than them is coming. Someone more evil than them. $20, add $5 shipping and handling, $25. Ask for the book, The Destroyer. Subtitled, The Antichrist is at Hand. But just ask for the book, The Destroyer, a very unusual book. The Destroyer. Now, call us toll free to order this book. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, of course, powerofprophecy.com. You'll see an ad for this book. Read about it. And then order the book. The Destroyer. By the way, we have our other book too, the new book. Holy Serpent of the Jews, an astounding book. Order them both. The Destroyer, $25. And then order a book, The Holy Serpent of the Jews. I think it's also $25, isn't it, Jerry? And $25 for it as well. You can write to us. Send us $25. Say, text, send me The Destroyer. We'll send it right to you. Ask for two books. Ask for three. As many as you can. Listen, I want you to understand, I don't get any royalties on my books. All the royalties go into the ministry. They all go into the ministry, and I must tell you, I don't get paid a lot of money from the ministry these days. I don't, just enough to live. But that's okay. I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. You know, I'm, I don't know how much longer I've got to go anyway. It's more important for me to sell these books. They do help the ministry to stay on schedule. Every cent goes into the ministry. I don't get any royalties on it. I want you to know that. The Destroyer. Get this book. You must have this book. I beg you. I don't beg many people, but I'm begging you to get this book. Our address here is 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We've been here, oh my goodness, 20, 30 years. We're going to be here till Jesus comes. Even when I die, we may just keep on going. I'm my spirit won't be here. It's going to be in heaven. But I don't know. Maybe God's going to put somebody else here to take this ministry. I don't know. But I know one thing. I'm going to leave it with these books, The Holy Serpent of the Jews and The Destroyer. This book is so important. Now let's return to our regular program. We don't have a lot of time left. Jerry, how much time do we have? All right, 10, 11 minutes. Because I did want to tell you about this news report, this article. Now, you won't hardly believe this. But evidently, this is incredible. Now, this is dated February the 5th, 2016. This is in February of this year, 2016. The time has come for God to reveal the Messiah, says Jerusalem's chief rabbi. That's right. The chief rabbi of Jerusalem, his name is Shlomo Amar, A-M-A-R, has commanded God. You see, in the Babylonian Talmud, it says that the rabbis can tell God what to do. And God seeks the advice of the rabbis. They're so smart. They're so intelligent. They're so wise. Oh, yes, sure. They tell God what to do. Well, you try that, friends. You're in trouble. But anyway, that's what they think they can do. And the chief rabbi, Shlomo Amar, has commanded God. He said, you will do this. Send the Messiah. They want the Messiah to come. Who is their Messiah? That's going to be the serpent, the holy serpent of the Jews. Oh, now the Messiah is going to be a man, but he's going to have the spirit of the serpent. Read about that in my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. And they want him to come now. They say it's time for us to be redeemed. What does that mean, be redeemed? It means they're going to control the world. All the world's people will obey them, will be their slaves. And you, if you're a Gentile, well, you're going to be a slave. What money do you have? You say you got all, I've got a little bit in my 401k. My wife and I have saved, and we've got the, well, all of it. You have to give all your money up to the Jews and be their slaves. That's what the Babylonian Talmud says. That's all you're worth anyway, because you're cattle. You're animals. You're nothing. Only the Jews are divine, and they shall be gods of earth. Their serpent Messiah will make them the kings of the earth. They're going to have a great feast. I'm writing a book right now. You're going to see it in a month or two. The Feast of the Beast. That's right. There's going to be a Feast of the Beast. You know, there's the Bible talks about a great feast with God in heaven, the banquet, the Lord's banquet. I'm ready for that. I'm telling you, I want my invitation, and I'm going to get my invitation. I know I'm going to get it because I believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus? You're going to be invited. I'm going to be the least of the guests, but I'll make the list anyway. They'll probably put me down way down the, you know, some little seat way at the end of the table, way down there. But I'll be there. I'll even eat the scraps of everybody else. Just put me at that great banquet of the table of the Lord. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. I love to read about that. You know, the people that God chose, the Jews, they didn't want to come. They said, we're not going to go to that banquet. So the Lord sent out his servants and said, go out into the highways and byways and tell people to come. Those that I chose, forget them. Go get new people. Whoever wants to come, whether he's poor, whether he's rich, it doesn't matter. Come, come. And they all come. But one man comes in, thinks, well, I deserve to be here. I'm entitled. But he doesn't have the wedding banquet on, the wedding clothes on. You got to have a certain garment on. You've got to have your white garment. It's got to be white. That's what Jesus said. You don't have your garment on. And so the Lord says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here at my banquet? You don't have the right garment on. And the man was totally bewildered. I didn't know I needed that garment. I didn't know I needed it. But I am entitled to be here. No, you're not. And so the Lord tells the servants, take this man, bind him up, and throw him into the pit, into the darkness. That's where he says, throw him in the darkness. Wow. They're going to have a feast of the beast, though. The serpent is going to, oh my goodness, think about that. You're going to have the banquet of the Lord, but they're going to have the feast of the beast. But now let me tell you about this chief rabbi, Shlomo Amir. You see, they invited 6,000 rabbis from all over the world. 6,000 rabbis from all over the world went to New York City. And Jerusalem's chief rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Amar, issued a ruling. He held hands with two other rabbis, one on each side. And all the rabbis applauded the ruling. 6,000 rabbis from around the world. In the presence of all of these colleagues holding the hands of the two men sitting closest to him, Amar pronounced this. He said, we hereby rule according to the demand of the audience. Ah, yes. The 6,000 rabbis, they've demanded it. That God Almighty speedily bring an end and reveal the Messiah in front of our eyes. Ah, yes. We demand that God do what we say. Give us the Messiah right now in front of our eyes. And the crowd cheered, amen. And they began singing a song. I'm not kidding. This is in the news report. We want Messiah now. We don't want to wait. These words, it says, came from a song that Jewish children are taught to sing from a very early age. We want Messiah now. Moshiach, they said. We don't want to wait. Now, how is it possible that a rabbi, even if he's the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, can make a ruling in Jewish law that obligates God? How can he force God to do something against his will? Well, a news agency there in Israel asked a senior rabbi, Uri Kaplon, how does this happen? He says, well, quote, the Jewish sages say that once the Torah was given, the earthly court, that's the rabbis here on earth, makes the rulings, and the heavenly court are bound by them. Whatever you say, they'll have to do it. You know what I believe? I think they may just get what they want. I think these 6,000 rabbis have demanded the Messiah come, and he's going to come. Not because Jesus has to do what they want. They didn't tell Jesus. They don't even believe in Jesus. They believe Jesus is suffering in hell. They believe he's burning. He's burning up. Now, my friends, you see, they say we believe in the Father, and the Father is the serpent. But the Bible says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? They're liars. He is Antichrist. They're all Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. This is 1 John chapter 2. Now let me go a little further. You see, God always writes twice. It's an axiom of the Bible. Not always, but on important things, God repeats himself. I love that. We have a little book by Gail Ripplinger called Amazing Language of the Bible. It's about the King James Bible. She says, God always repeats himself when it's important. Do you think it's because he's dumb? Oh, no. He wants to make sure you get it. So right after he talks about the liar, the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son, he says this. First John, he says, whoso denieth the Son, whosoever, that is, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Oh my goodness. If you recognize, acknowledge Jesus as Lord, you have the Father already. But if you deny Jesus, you don't have the Father. The Muslims say we have Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Let me tell you, you have Satan. That's who you have. You have the dragon. Every false religion has the dragon, Satan, because they've denied the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. The Pope, Pope Francis, says it doesn't matter who you worship, as long as you believe in the Creator, God. Well, first of all, Pope Francis is an idiot. Because the Bible says that Jesus created this earth. He's the creator. But the Pope doesn't read the Bible. He's a Jesuit priest, you see. So he's conspiring and doing all kind of other things when he should be reading the Bible. Now these 6,000 rabbis, they're all Antichrist. The Pope and the 1 billion Catholics in the world, they're all Antichrist. Unless they accept Jesus as Lord. And then they'll understand who the destroyer is. Yes, my friends, the Antichrist is at hand. The destroyer. I always knew it was going to happen. I was told about this from a very early age, and now it's here. Look for it. Get this book. I'm Tex Mars, my friends. It's been great being with you today. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.